The fallout from the October 7th attack by Hamas has begun in Israel, with blame and recriminations taking place. More hostages are to be released this weekend from Hamas, and the IDF has launched a direct campaign against the terrorists remaining in the West Bank. The IDF has asked for a 30-day extension to the ceasefire in Lebanon. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries, and welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, January 24th of the year 2025, and here's the news for the week. Since October 7th, there's been efforts on the part of critics of the Israeli government to find blame against Israel, specifically the IDF, and the leadership of Israel as to why the October 7th attack was so successful. They want to know what were the signs that the IDF saw, the government saw, that showed there was an impending attack, and obviously ask the questions, why didn't Israel stop it or do something better to respond to the attack? As you know, the attack was vicious. Over 1,200 Israelis were killed. Many hostages were taken, and so these questions have always been lingering, and they've been trying to start a commission on it, but while the war was going on, the government fended it off. But now the questions are catching up with the government of Israel at this time. And again, the questions are, did the IDF see Hamas doing things that would indicate an attack was coming? And what did they do to respond to the attack? In other words, were they geared up and ready to do it? Who is responsible in Israel for this? Well, this last week, the chief of staff, Halevi, General Halevi, in charge of the IDF, announced his resignation and announced that he was partially responsible for the inability of Israel to deal with that October 7th attack. His resignation will take place in March, and Defense Minister Katz will be looking for a replacement for him. Additionally, the head of the Southern Command of the IDF, he also announced his resignation. But I'm certain there's going to be more recriminations as the investigation goes on down into the ranks of the IDF to find out why they weren't more prepared. The good news this week is that four more hostages are to be released this Saturday. They're expecting four women. In particular, there's one woman who's a civilian. Her name is Arbel Yehud, and Israel has demanded that she be released right away in the next set of four women. She is a woman that's being held by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, not Hamas, but the PIJ. And they want to leverage the PIJ with Hamas to get her released as quickly as possible. Furthermore, she's not an IDF soldier. She was simply a civilian that got caught up in all of this mess. And they're demanding that she be released as well. So we'll watch this Saturday to see if she is released. Of course, there's an exchange of Palestinian prisoners being released at the same time, and they've announced that the Jenin terror leader, who had been arrested earlier, he's going to be one of the ones being released, and he's going to go right back to Jenin in the West Bank, the Palestinian city that is the kind of the focal point of the terrorists coming out of the West Bank. The latest intel indicates that hostages have been kept in humanitarian zones, meaning that when Israel demanded that Palestinian civilians be moved out of certain areas and go into these tent cities they set up for them, some of the hostages were taken to that place and kept in those tents along with other civilians, which means that the UN understood there were Israeli hostages being kept there, and the Palestinian civilians were cooperating in holding those hostages. And the Palestinian citizens are just as guilty as Hamas or the Palestinian Islamic Jihad for holding Israeli hostages. In fact, the last set of hostages were released this last week. Palestinian civilians were coming against the vehicles, threatening the hostages as they were being released. One of the hostages reported that they feared that they were going to be killed by them before they could ever make it to be turned over to the Israelis. This is a very hostile environment inside of Gaza, by all Palestinians against Israelis that are there. Now, the released hostages have all been going through an extensive physical and psychological evaluation, spending 4 days in the hospitals. One of the reports is that they, after a year of being in dark tunnels, their adjustment of their eyes to see sunlight, they still think they're in dark tunnels, and obviously they're going to be suffering from PTSD from their experience. The IDF, and even though they've started the ceasefire, they've discovered more Gaza tunnels, and hostage negotiations for after this six-week ceasefire have already begun. And that's part of what they're asking for is the names and the status of the other remaining 65 hostages not supposed to be released in this ceasefire element. And they need to find out who's alive and who's dead. In particular, there's one family, husband, wife, children, baby. They want to know the status on. The IDF is preparing for another offensive if the negotiations fail. And by preparing for offensive, I'm talking about a completely different campaign into Gaza. At the moment, Israel, as a part of the ceasefire, is pumping humanitarian aid into Gaza. In fact, nearly 600 trucks of aid are going in daily. And the only way that Israel is going to be able to defeat Hamas is you have to defeat what Hamas believes in. If I go back to the examples of World War II, the reason why the United States was successful against Japan and Germany was they understood this. They understood that to defeat Japan, who believed in Hirohito, the emperor, that they had to defeat Japan to the point where they didn't believe in the emperor anymore. In the case of Germany, they had to defeat the German army where they didn't believe in the Führer, you know, the Hitler anymore. The same thing is true of Hamas. We got to get them to the point where they see that Allah is not going to come and help them. And they give up what they think is the ideology which is driving them to continue to fight. Because quite honestly, militarily, they've already been defeated. But they're not defeated mentally. And to win the war against Hamas, Israel's going to have to defeat what they believe in. The IDF has launched a new offensive in the Palestinian cities in West Bank, namely Jenin and Tukarim. And those are the areas where the terrorists have been operating out of, harming Israeli citizens. Several terrorists have already been killed by drone strikes. Israeli settlers, they're being referred to as extremists, have retaliated against certain Palestinian towns, and that's in the news, and it's somewhat to the discredit of Israel. But let me explain what is happening. Apparently, some Palestinians went over to those Israeli areas, the settler areas, and they killed three women. One of them was a very old woman, shot them to death. And the settlers over said enough is enough, and they went over and attacked the surrounding Palestinian towns, burning cars, lighting buildings on fire, and harming other Palestinians because of the terrorists that came from those communities. The IDF has moved in seven additional battalions into the West Bank. They've literally surrounded the entire West Bank, setting up multiple military checkpoints. Over 900 military checkpoints have been set up. And as a result, there are incredible traffic delays in the Palestinian areas, gridlock for anybody driving on vehicles because they have to go through multiple checkpoints checking everything. As a result, there's increasing tensions and frustrations on the part of the Palestinians in all of the West Bank Palestinian cities. Defense Minister Katz has taken over the portfolios of Ben-Gvir. Ben-Gvir, as you recall, last week, resigned from the government, left the coalition government. They had three portfolios in their political party. They've all been assigned to Katz, and he now is in charge of the police. And so that's also part of the operation that is going on in the West Bank. The IDF has just recently asked for a 30-day extension in the Lebanese ceasefire. As I shared with you last week, the ceasefire was about to conclude in just a couple of days. They've asked for it, and the justification for it is that Hezbollah has been violating the ceasefire Israel has been striking those enemies as they violate. The Lebanese army has not filled in, and as they were supposed to, filling the areas where the Israelis are withdrawing from. So the Israelis are saying, we're not going to withdraw until those things begin to happen. In the meantime, Israel has been discovering more weapons caches and finding more things that belong to Hezbollah that were planned to be used against Israel. We'll see if that ceasefire extension comes in. The U.S. is involved in that negotiation along with Lebanon. Trump has offered some gestures to Iran. It's kind of interesting. He's assigned Mr. Witkoff to handle the Iran portfolio, specific designated by Trump to handle the whole issue with Iran. And just this a couple of days ago, Trump made the quote. He said it would be nice if Israel didn't have to hit them, meaning that Israel is preparing to hit Iran. But then he went on to say, but, you know, if Israel does hit Iran, that'd be okay with him, too. And so he's kind of playing hands off with Iran, saying, you guys better start negotiating. You better start talking to Mr. Witkoff about how we can get this turned around, or else I'll let the Israelis have at you. This is obviously the reverse of the Biden policy. And we have since learned, since Biden has now come out of office, that he was forcing Israel to literally fight with one hand tied behind their back. Biden was all along cursing Israel, cursing Netanyahu, while Blinken and Sullivan were interfering in every military operation. So how did Israel get around Biden, Blinken, and Sullivan in the last year? Well, it turns out that some of these successes came by working through the U.S. CENTCOM commander. General Halevi went and worked directly with the CENTCOM commander in the DOD. They were able to get his support, and then that was able to get support for things to get done. But if they'd gone directly through Biden, Blinken, or Sullivan, it wouldn't have happened. And so Israel basically figured out a way to get around Biden, Blinken, and Sullivan. Turkey, I want to remind you, is trying to replace Iran in the struggle against Israel. They are moving into Syria, throwing their weight around, demanding that Israel get out of Syria. And Turkey is working with the rebels in Syria to try to get control of that situation. We'll have to continue to watch that, because Turkey will be just as bad against Israel as Iran has been in the past. Trump has redesignated the Houthi rebels as a terrorist organization. If you recall, last year Biden took them off the list. Now they're back on the list. He's also calling drug cartels in Mexico the same terrorist organizations. And quite honestly, in basic modern warfare, you must identify the enemy before you can defeat them. At least now we finally recognize the Houthis for who they are and the drug cartels for who they are, and you can thank Trump for that. Changes in the relationship because of this designation means that NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and UN aid that is going into those areas, that are involved with those areas, is now going to be curtailed, because the U.S. will demand that they cannot be assisted any further. Anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish reports all around the world have come up dramatically this last year. In fact, the total is there have been a 340% increase around the world. France is leading the way with more incidents of harassment against Jews. Australia attacks are still going on against synagogues and citizens. And the ICC, as you know, has put out arrest warrants for Israeli leaders and soldiers. The U.S. is coming against them, offering sanctions against the ICC for their effort. Just recently, an IDF doctor was supposed to give a speech at a Maryland university or medical center, and his speech had to be canceled due to security concerns here in the United States. That's how bad it has gotten. And in fact, the estimates are right now that half of the world's population is now truly anti-Semitic against Israel and the Jewish people. Back here in the U.S., as a result of Trump taking control of the government, deportations of illegal immigrants has begun. The worst of the worst is being arrested. Criminal aliens are being arrested and deported. And it also includes the deportation of foreign Hamas supporters. If you recall, the anti-Israel protests, Hamas, pro-Hamas supporters on U.S. campuses, there were foreign students involved with that. And he's now included that if you're a foreign student and you participate in that, you too can be deported from the country. He's also gone about dismissing a whole number of Biden appointees in major government offices. He has pulled the security clearances for all the signers of the famous letter of the Biden laptop letter. If you remember when Trump was running for election against Biden, and Biden claimed that this report about this laptop that his son had, that it was Russian disinformation, and he, Tony Blinken, got 51 names to sign up, Intel experts to sign up and say, no, it's Russian disinformation, it's not true. Well, every one of those names have now been, had their security clearances pulled. That includes Tony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, and several CIA directors in the past. Well, that's more of what Trump is doing in our country. There's a great sense of optimism about what he's doing, but I would remind everybody that we want to keep our trust in the Lord, not in our president, not in our government. It is the Lord who is going to take care of us and take care of our people in Israel. So I want you to pray for Israel and for the Middle East. Pray for the remaining hostages to come home safely, not only those that are in this first ceasefire agreement, but for those other 65 that we don't know about. They need to come home too. Thank you for viewing this program. By the way, we have a new podcast network. If you go to your favorite podcast platform, search under Lion and Lamb Ministries, you'll find all five of our current series that we publish out to the internet. And you can log on and see all of those programs. Or you can subscribe to lionandlamb.tv and see them there as well. Thank you again, and Shabbat Shalom to all of you.